guys, welcome back to the Sell and Tell podcast. Today we have an awesome episode. We are going to dive into bridging the gap between agents and new home counselors. And sometimes this is a misunderstood relationship between real estate agents and the counselors, but we want to kind of hit all of the dynamics and how we can improve that and any kind of advice. But today, first, I have Elizabeth Swanson with me today. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Good. How are you?
So today, go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll head into the listing of the week and dive into the episode.
All right. Perfect. Well, thank you for having me. First of all, I'm very excited about today and the topic. And part of it has to do with my history of, you know, I started my career in real estate back in 2002 as a salesperson for a new home builder. And eventually became a coach trainer for that builder. Market had changed. That position was re-sculpted and stuff. And I got picked up by another builder in North Carolina, moved across the country, spent some time out there, and ended up getting my license as a real estate agent and did general brokerage for 9 years in North Carolina. And then returned to this great state of Texas back in 2017 as a coach trainer for a different builder. Love it. I probably am certified in way too many training courses and coaching, but it certainly helps throughout the process. So currently I'm the area sales manager for Coventry Homes in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. I cover the East territory, everywhere from Mesquite all the way up to Anna. And then I have a partner named Shane Summers who covers on the West side. And then my VP of sales, Russ Mason, covers up North. So we're a huge territory, huge area. And I'm so grateful to be part of this team. It's been about 4 months now, and I can't keep the smile off my face.
Well, that's awesome. I am so happy to hear that you're with Coventry. I do know that you have a listing of the week for us this week, and it's in Solterra. It's a really great master plan community. So I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to you if you want to introduce us to this new home.
Yeah, so this is going to be, the address is 1417 Casting Ridge. It recently just became reavailable. I was out there just a couple weeks ago because Huffines is the developer of Solterra. They're about to finish part of their amenity center. They're thinking they're going to have a little bit of a kickoff in July for the pool and some of the other amenities like the exercise machine. But in Solterra, they have multiple fishing ponds, dog parks, side parks, a pool, an area you can rent out for whatever party you want, and or host a business center. They've got business centers there. So if you work from home and you bought that house like 1417 with the study and the four bedrooms, but you still need a little bit of a private area in the amenity center at Solterra, they actually have places you can rent and work out from their offices over there. So it's an all-inclusive. You feel like you're, when you visit that community, although it's in the beginning stages, you almost feel like you're on vacation all the time. It's just that cool of a community. I highly invite you all out to come see it. And please stop by our model home that we currently have in Solterra. And then 1417, like I said, it recently came back on the market. It's in the really neat part of the neighborhood where the HOA common area runs behind it, because then the big back road is off the backside of that. So it's got a huge yard already, but on the side of it is a common area. So it feels like you only have one neighbor on one side and nobody behind you. So it's really super cool on that side. It's got a huge covered patio. It's got a primary suite on the first floor. The family room opens, you know, the kitchen opens up to a big family room, and then off to the right, it's got a nice little casual dining area. It's a 3-car tandem garage on this home. It's got a secondary bedroom and bath on the first floor, and then 3 additional bedrooms upstairs with a game room. It's awesome.
I love that. That's kind of all encompassing in that floor plan. It's got everything. Mm-hmm. And the amenities out in Solterra, I've seen them. I've driven them. They're amazing. So yeah. I think that would be a great community for all of our agents to visit. And it's in Mesquite, right?
Yes, it is. Yep. City of Mesquite.
That city is
allowing us to share it.
Absolutely. Well, let's dive into this episode. So I want to start off by, let's talk about what a new counselor actually does and what they don't do. Like, they're not attorneys. So what do they actually do for their clients versus an agent?
We actually work together as a team to take care of each other's customer. And actually, our agents are as much of our customers as the actual client is. I would say the biggest thing is somebody who has been on both sides of the industry, bringing people to new home communities, as well as coaching and training a lot, is the biggest benefit a real estate agent and or buyer can get by visiting a model home is the structure and the training of taking a tour of a model home. So I pause on that for just a second, because you'll get people all the time walk in and put the hand up. I don't want to talk to you. You know, I'm just looking. Every single person is just looking, right? Every single person is just looking. So our team is really, really highly trained, and other teams in the market are super trained on asking specific questions to help a buyer move forward. So if they're partnering with a real estate agent, whether they've worked with somebody for a long time or they've worked with somebody for a short time, if the agent's with them on the visit, then let the salesperson ask the questions. If you're sending a client out and you're a real estate agent and you have a client, let the sales agent ask the questions. I hear it all the time. My real estate agent told me not to say anything when I got in here. Well, why? We're here to help. We're here to guide them. Yeah, and the clients, they know what they want and what they don't want most cases. But if we ask the right questions, it will give them things to think about that they hadn't thought of yet that they need to think about, right? So there's several decisions a buyer has to make in their process. They have to decide on the location, the area, right? So the city, the schools, all that stuff. The community, we just talked about Solterra. Is this the type of community that feels like a resort that you want to live in? Or do you want a slightly not so entertaining neighborhood and community? They have to decide on their price range. Is this the right economy to buy in? Is this the right builder to buy with? Is this the right home site? All, you know, there's so many decisions a buyer has to make, and that can all come out through a demonstration or conversation, if it's even better, while touring a model home.
So how would an agent's role and their involvement benefit the builder and the buyer?
So the benefit the builder gets is you guys are out there working and driving traffic and people through our doors. So it's more like our agents are a referral and to our community. They're from the marketing side of things. And they bring us traffic through the door. They have the relationship, they have the clients. If an agent has done their due diligence, price point, what to expect when buying a home, what kind of money do you need to, and educating the buyer, right? They're educating the buyer that, you know, some builders may accept this amount of down for this type of loan, or they might accept this amount for that type of loan. So the agent are really educating the buyers before they come out. But as I said earlier, sometimes their first meeting is when they're actually in the model home. So it should still be a team relationship throughout the whole process. And then the other benefit a buyer has with working with a real estate agent is the strong agents are always going to do their due diligence about the community ahead of time. So they're going to know what the value is in the neighborhood. They're going to know if it's the right price point. They're going to know which builders will negotiate, won't negotiate, how that negotiation happens. And they're going to come prepared to know what the market is saying at that time. So it should be a smooth process with the builder, because the builder's doing the same thing on their side because it's a profit margin company, right? So we're going to try to get profit, but we can't sell what doesn't work with the market, right? So we collaborate as a team.
Right. And that kind of brings me to the topic of when agents send out their clients and don't go with them. I feel like that's necessary that you go with your clients. You need to be there to be part of the conversation.
100%. So it's always the ideal situation. the perfect situation is if the agent goes with the client. And that's what every builder has in their paperwork, everything else. And that's the goal, right? But then there's reality. Sometimes they can make it out. Sometimes people say, hey, I got a few hours on a Saturday. I'm going to pop in, even though I'm not meeting XYZ real estate agent next week. So what's the best practice? I teach my sales team this all the time. The very first 5, 10, 15 minutes of a salesperson that works for a builder should always ask, are you working with a real estate agent? Every single time. And be consistent about it. And you're going to get, yes, I'm working with so-and-so. They're great, blah, 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 blah. Or they're going to say, I'm thinking about it, but I'm not sure yet. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. That's a very common one. And then the worst case scenario for anybody going through the process for a new home sales counselor, because they have the company's rules, are they're supposed to be there on the first visit, or at least have a conversation about the real estate on their first visit. So you get 2, 3, 4 visits into the process, and then you go to write the contract. They're saying, oh, by the way, I have a real estate agent. Can I bring them in on the deal? And I teach the team every single time, you're more than welcome to hire whomever you want to represent you. But I initially asked you if you were a real estate agent. They need to be the procuring cause. They need to have brought you in to the office. So you can I encourage you, if you feel you need that and that comfort, go ahead, find yourself a real estate agent. At that point, you're going to be paying for them. We're not going to put them on the contract, but they can represent you all day long, right?
Right. All right. And I think that's where agents get lost, is they don't sometimes they don't understand why their name got left off the contract, because mm-hmm. there's somebody's friend or somebody's uncle or something, and they swoop in at the last minute. And I think that builders hold agents accountable a little bit to that point.
That's why I teach every single one of my new home counselors to ask very first visit from every single person if they're working with somebody, because that gives it the opportunity that they didn't forget to bring up the real estate agent's name every single time. And it's super, super important, because you also have somebody that come in after the fact and they feel like they need to earn that thing through the process, and it will kill the deal, and it does nobody any good. It stresses everybody out.
Right. I agree. So That I think can sometimes be a misconception. But what are some other common misconceptions from both sides of that aisle, the agents and the builders?
That's a great question. And after 23 plus years in the business, starting in new homes and going into general brokerage, the biggest thing I realized is that our real estate agents in our community are our clients. So we're reaching out to them, letting them know. And just like a business to business sale rather than an emotional sale, which is new homes, or real estate, we have to stay in front of them all the time to let them know we're encouraging you to come in. We want you to be part of our process. We want you to bring your clients. We want this to be a smooth and easy transition. So the whole time, our sales agents need to keep our real estate agents in the loop, just as if they're the clients through the whole process.
Mm-hmm. I kind of scour Facebook every now and then and into these realtor groups, and I want to pull one from there that I see a lot. And it's, as a new realtor, especially one that's just getting started after this whole pandemic, or even during the pandemic, learning how to deal from a very easy, just sign the contract and move on, to now you got to really work for your business. How can they get into new construction? Because I think part of one of those misconceptions is that these older realtors, or realtors that have been around a long time, the newer realtors think it's kind of like a secret club, and it's really not.
I did new homes for many years, and then I moved across the country, knew nobody, and within a year I was having to get it, you know, I got my real estate license and I had to establish my knowledge, my skills, and everything else. So I see a lot of newer agents come around and they do their video shoots and they do social media posts, and they're establishing those relationships. But we welcome you all. Like, we'll have CE classes sometimes. And so come on by, get on our list so that you're invited to those things. Just go out and meet the new home sales counselors. We're welcoming to you all, and to bring it in. So it's pretty easy on the new home sales side to establish that relationship. We're not going to push you away from coming in our office at all.
Yeah, I always say that too. If you know, everybody uses TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, no one's going to turn you away from creating content in their model home. It just doesn't happen.
Oh, Jess, I just thought of another great thing that I teach my sales team all the time. If they're on the weekends, if they're in one of those established neighborhoods that may have some resales and open houses on the resale side of things, I ask my agents to go out and introduce themselves to the agent hosting the open house and the agent. Same thing. If you're hosting an open house close to a new home community, go on by the new home, the builder, and introduce yourself and pass out your card and say, I'm hosting an open house. Hey, what other floor plans? So that they may like the one that I'm doing the open house on, but they might like give me an objection, and you have 13 floor plans I can choose from. So, you know, I might bring them over there.
That's a fantastic idea. You can, even if you don't sell the house that you have an open house for, right down the street is 13 other houses that you can sell.
Exactly. That's the right fit.
So what are some tips for both agents and new home counselors to have a strong first impression when they're trying to build these relationships?
Yeah, with the buyers and stuff. So the biggest thing is to listen and understand. So, I was taught this way in the industry, early in the industry, and I realized I actually did this naturally, but I didn't realize how far I could take it. So there's a great trainer out there called Ryan Taft. I don't know if you know of him, but he was one of my first role models and teachers early in the industry. He's a fantastic guy, and he established asking four questions deep. So it's a practice you can do any day of the week. Just do this with your husband tonight. And he's going to go, what's gotten into Jess tonight? But just don't answer anything that he says to you, but ask him about the same exact subject. Ask him four questions about that, and then see how many more questions you can ask without even answering or talking about the thing. Because you really get people to open up about what their wants and goals are, and they get talking about, so they answer their own question while you're asking these questions. And you just be inquisitive with every single buyer that you have, because they're going to love it that you're paying attention to them and you're not just trying to push them in a way you think they need to go before you get all the facts.
Yeah. And I love that. And shout out to Ryan Taft, because I met him early on in my career whenever I was on the sales side. And he works with these groups, and really, I will say, he got me out of my comfort zone, because it's very uncomfortable to ask these questions for people. Sometimes it's very personal questions regarding finance, and it can be very uncomfortable with their objections, and people love to talk. And I think that's something that agents and new home counselors,
they want to be heard. Have you ever talked to somebody and you say what you want, and then they tell you something that has nothing, it's totally squirreled off to this other thing, because it's about what they're thinking about? No, it's not about what the salesperson's needs are. It's what the buyer's needs are. And we want to put the buyer first every single time. And that will make a great first impression.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen too, some strategies is to just jump to, like, it's a factory, like it's an assembly line. Here is your floor plan. Here is your finish out here. And it salespeople tend to just say, okay, bing, 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 check all the boxes. Here's your contract, go. Instead of sitting there and just letting them talk across it. Just, okay, what are your family's needs? And trying to build a little bit deeper of a relationship, other than, okay, sign your contract, go out the door, move on.
It's a collaboration, right? We collaborate all day long with whomever we're encountering at any point in our life. We're always collaborating. If we want to remodel our bathrooms, right? So me and my husband will spend some time. Do you want this? Do you want this? Let's try this. And we're collaborating the whole time and asking each other questions. Just the same when somebody comes in front of you, that relationship in front of you is precious, and it's about their goals and where they want to be. And then you'll meet your goals.
Yeah, that's very true. So what are some joint strategies that the new home counselor and the agent can work together in order to better serve the client? What are some tactics that they can take?
Yeah. So the biggest and best thing, and this is after the sale actually, is to really align and understand your builder's contracts. They're different than Trek contracts, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to have some clauses and some set guidelines for the buyer, but it's also for the seller too, right? And so they're going to have specific times. Like for instance, if you're doing a to-be-built and you get the pre-qualification up front, there's usually typically in the different builders I've worked for, when it comes close to closing, that every buyer has the right to shop around what mortgage company they want to use. But usually in a builder's contract, it will say you have to give me notification within a certain amount of time before the closing. So that collaboration of working with what the builder's contract is super important for the real estate agents, because they've all been trained in the state, the Trek contract, or whatever state you're in, whatever contract mm-hmm. the real estate commission has allowed out there. And the newest thing, Jess, that I think you may have actually taught me this several years ago when we first met, is the ability to use the tools that are out there right now, like ChatGPT, right? So back in the day, you said this at the beginning of the podcast, we're not attorneys, neither are the real estate agents, right? So use that ChatGPT to, you know, read the contract, but have it simplify it, because it's in attorney's language, right? And we're not attorneys. So simplify it, make it easy. If you are still confused, then get an attorney. You know, if any time, get your own attorney to go through a contract. But work with your salesperson at the office and the real estate agent. Really need to help the buyer best by understanding the contract and going through it together. So the bad part is that everything's sent out DocuSign right now and people don't have the conversation. So my best tip for my sales team and real estate agents that come in is to, before they leave the office, go a brief introduction of what each page of the contract is articulating, and then give them enough time to read it.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I always recommend that real estate agents, if you can get your hands on one, have a blank contract with you. Mm-hmm. Or just take like a prior buyer's contract and white out everything, just so you have one that you can reference if anybody ever has questions. And the same with new home counselors, like know what's in your contract, because I think that in my experience, I've had people ask questions and it used to be that the response is, I am not an attorney. If you're seeking legal advice, you can get an attorney, but this is the contract. No changes can be made. Sign or don't sign. And that's like a very simplified old way directive thing of doing. But I feel like people genuinely want to know. And I don't know if things have changed over the years, if builders are making concessions to their contracts more so than they have before. But it used to be, there's no changes. We're not doing, this is it.
Yeah. So the biggest thing that's probably changed in the last year or two is the market has shifted, right? So it's, there some flexibility in changing, say, on an inventory home that you know is finished, but they have a home to close. We might say, hey, if it falls within our quarter, we might extend it out a month or so. Or, there's just little tweaks that we can add to the contract in the special provisions. It's not going to be extensive. We're not going to cross out lines. I mean, these are attorney made contracts by the corporate office. We're not going to scratch out things, take parts out. I get that at least twice a year where we send out a contract with somebody and they're like, well, we want to talk to our attorney, and the attorney will come back and say, you need to take this, this, and this out. No, we're still not going to do that. But some mm-hmm. flexibility in the contingencies and or closing date. We're going to look at the whole business. We can't do it every single time. We have people to respond to. We have investors in our company that say, hey, how many closings are you going to get? How many sales are you going to get? And so there's a risk factor that everything, but just ask.
You know, going back to a new realtor getting into new construction and building that relationship, one of the things that I've seen online and I'm going to go back and forth because I found some things online and social media that float around every now and then. And I think I told you earlier, I almost died whenever I saw this response. But one of the pieces of advice given was to stand out in front of the model home and pass out business cards in order to earn your business and build a relationship with new home counselors. And I think that's such a big no-no in my world. So I'd love for your insights on that.
Well, it's hard for me to wrap my head even around that concept or that suggestion, because why would we have new home counselors? We would just bring in real estate agents to sit in our model home. And I get that question a lot too, is, hey, can we sit in your model, your spec inventories and do an open house for you and everything? And it's like, no, that's my sales team. Their responsibility is to drive the traffic to that and go there. You're more than welcome to post about it and put our address up, and that should help you drive business to yourself and everything like that. But no, the best way, again, to build that relationship is get to know your real estate agents. We can't really technically refer anybody, because that would hold the builder accountable about who they're referring to and stuff. But having that relationship on social media, posting on each other's items, posting, resharing the postings of the person you want to build a relationship with, that's all probably the most above the line business practice, I would say, to build that relationship with real estate agents. If you have time to sit outside somebody's model home and hand out business cards, I can guarantee you we could. Give me a call. We'll have a bunch of conversations on other ways. So for instance, when I was in general brokerage in North Carolina, I was part of a kickball team that I played kickball with people all day long. And then just building that relationship built my sphere of people I knew. I mean, I moved to North Carolina knowing absolutely nobody by myself. I rode motorcycles, and I belonged to the Raleigh Hog Group, and that I participated in. I volunteered there. And as you get to know people, you start talking about what you do for a living, and that built my business. I had a second job where I was selling to commercial construction sites. And every single time I would go out there, I'd visit them for my other business, and we just get to know each other. And we built our business that way. So go to your sphere of the things you do the most and you enjoy the most, and your name will get out there and you will build your business.
Okay. So I have to ask, did you have your own like real estate agent motorcycle club? Like you drove around and showed houses?
I always wanted to do, cause we do the progressive dinners, and I always wanted to do with a motorcycle group. Hey, let's have a progressive dinner at my models. And then we'll show up, you can have breakfast here. And then you go out and ride some back roads. And then you show up at this location, we'll have lunch. And then we'll have dinner at the next location. That would be
a lot of fun. That's such a good idea.
Yeah. And with the motorcycle groups I ride right now, I'm out there riding with them, and I'll pass this community and that community. I'm like, let's stop in, say hi. Let's see who's got the 3-car garage so that we can put our motorcycles in it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You were saying in that listing of the week that it has a tandem garage. And I was like, oh, man, I wish I had a tandem garage. Those are great.
Yeah, that neighborhood would be perfect, because the golf carts to get around the community. How perfect would the tandem garage be for that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I see that a lot, too, is a lot of communities have gone to these golf cart scenarios. Mm-hmm. So it kind of just became a thing here in North Texas. Like if you live in a master plan community, you got to get a golf cart.
Yep. It's the way to pick up the kids these days from school too. Cause true. A lot of them have the schools in it.
Yeah, that's true too. So golf cart is the way to get around. I want to also go back to the Facebook post, because I won't say the builder in this. So, if you want to know, contact me later. But I am curious on your opinion of this, because I have worked for a company that has done this in the past, and I know there's some stigma around it. So this post is from an anonymous poster on one of the real estate groups. And just so everyone is aware, blank builder sales agents are paid more if there is no agent on the deal. From my understanding, it's a whole percent higher, from 2.75 with no agent and 1.75 if there is an agent. My buyers wanted to go on contract for a home when it was communicated that they were represented by an agent, the sales representative stopped returning all communication, said that she had other people interested in pursuing the home who didn't have an agent, so she was going to follow up with them first. My buyers were pre-qualified, which they provided, and had a check in hand ready to move forward. They still want the house, but the sales representative won't even respond to them. I recommend all agents avoid doing business with a builder who seeks to work without us. And that blows my mind.
It does mine too. And I when you share that, I've like had to read that a few times because I'm like, I've had my fair share of builders over 23 years that I've worked for. And I have built relationships with several other people that work for different builders in this market. And I can honestly say I've never heard of such a practice. Never.
Really?
You would burn out one of your major, like most builders have 88 to 90% participation from real estate agents.
Right.
Why would you lose that contact? I mean, real estate agents are the core of bringing in business to us. They have to
absolutely
be.
Absolutely.
You know, it should really, a healthy number would be probably 60 to 65 because we do expect our sales agents to drive their own traffic to the community. But in today's market, it really is 80 to 90%. And we both know that there are some agents out there that do a practice of kickbacks. I don't know how they do it legally. I'm not an attorney, as we said earlier.
Right.
Because I know a lot of agents that work really hard and then that kickback agent comes in and swoops in the deal from them. But here nor there, right now, the last two builders I worked for, including the one I'm here, so now three, all had 80 to 95% participation. So I don't know why you would change your process of telling your sales agents to cut out a real estate agent because you can make a higher percentage. I don't know sales agents that would do that. Honestly, maybe I'm just working with a great group of people. I've been very fortunate or something. Why would you cut out your primary source of bringing in traffic?
Yeah, I agree. And I have worked with a builder that changed their structure to this at one point. I don't know if they changed back later on, but it wasn't ever that you were told, hey, we don't want to work with agents, so this is why we're doing this. It was just the way that the commission was paid out of different buckets was done a certain way, and you got paid higher whenever an agent was involved. And even when you're not told that, I think anybody on commission would naturally just float to the resort of, wait, I have two buyers, one has an agent and one doesn't, I get paid more with the one that doesn't have an agent. They would just float towards that. It would just be natural. It's like, of course I want to make more money. So I also
go for both buyers. So yeah. If they had one with an agent, one without an agent, I hope they would go for both buyers.
Yeah, I know. At the end of the day, you want to be able to sell both homes, but if it comes, I do know that.
You're saying if there's one home, two buyers, I get paid more. Okay, I follow you.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what the response is to this particular agent. There's not a healthy response to that because it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate situation. But on the builder side of the world, I just don't know why you would do that, because it would just completely be natural that if you have one house left that fits for two clients and one has an agent and one doesn't, they're probably going to pick the one that they get paid more with. It's natural. It sucks.
I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my head around it. And it's also hard for me to wrap my head around the feedback on the social media and those type of things and where the source comes. And because I've been on both ends of it, where somebody will take, there's this great, I learned this probably 10 years ago, which is this saying, a half a truth is still a lie. You can take a portion of the conversation and post it there, and you're going to get all this feedback and negativity, and people's heart and passion goes in. But just like we were talking about understanding a buyer that's in front of us, that first impression, we need to, before we dig into what that social media post and says, is to ask yourself questions like, well, what's wrong with this part? What's wrong with that part? Why would they even say that? Like, why would they even come about that? So I hope that builder's not doing that. Like I said, I've worked for several. I've never seen any do it that way. You have worked for somebody that has given that impression out there. Over the 23 years, have I seen the market change? Yeah, I remember when the market changed like 2005, 2006, and so there were some builders that were coming in and offering agents bonus over bonus over bonus. And then when the market got good, they cut the commission down to 1% for the agents that were coming in.
Yeah.
And it was the same builder, right? And just stay consistent. Keep an average of a certain percentage that you want to pay your real estate agents. If at Coventry, we do, if we have a inventory home that's close to finished and or finished, we might offer a little bit more commission and make it more enticing, because every month we keep the buckets of money. Every month we keep that finished inventory going on. It's costing us more money. So for us, it's a smart decision to offer a bonus on a home that's already finished.
Right. I agree. So when we're talking about, now that we've passed the contract stage, everybody gets paid, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody's happy. So once we get past that, how does the collaboration between the agent and the builder sales rep, how does that extend beyond everybody got their paycheck, everybody's happy?
Yeah.
Now, how do we keep that relationship?
Keep on talking, keep on having conversations. Typically what happens is that when the buyer has closed on the home, all of a sudden the buyer transitions to fully leaning on the sales counselor and they stop talking to the real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
I say both be involved throughout the process. Maybe even plan with your new home counselor, real estate agent, if you're working together on a thing, hey, maybe plan on going to do a visit a month later. Hey, we both want to come by and see how things are going. Have you have any questions? Is everything working smoothly for you? Did you change the air filter on the house? Because, you know, you want to keep the maintenance up. Just think of thoughtful, kind things to do it. And then follow up with, hey, do you have anybody else that wants to be your neighbor? You know, so both agents should be following up with the client the whole time. But if they do it as a team, then it's the best for the buyer.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to get to the best part of the episode, the part that I don't tell anybody about until they get on the show. It's fantastic.
Oh. Maybe I should have fully went through the whole thing before.
There's no turning back now.
All right, I'll do it. I trust you.
So in your career, I always love to ask of one of the best, the biggest no-nos, like don't ever do this in our industry, or my personal favorite, a horror story that you'll never forget.
Don't ever do this or horror story. That's a tough one, Jess. I've got so many after 23 years. I have a funny story, and this was when I was in general brokerage as a real estate agent. And some people can relate or not. So it was in North Carolina, so we had basements and stuff. And I was selling a home to a much younger single person. And we were out shopping the homes. And I remember driving around. And we pulled up this one home that was completely empty. But there was just a vibe. There was some vibe that we were both feeling. We were joking around that we were both feeling uneasy and stuff. I remember saying to her, this is actually before cell phones were really, like, we had the flip phones and, still earlier in the cell phone world and everything. And we wanted to go down in the basement, but we were both very wary about going in the basement. And I'm a mama bear, so I want to protect this young person. I give her my keys.
Oh, my gosh.
And I say, I'm going down first. And I give her instructions. It might be my criminal justice background. I give her instructions. I'm going down first. And I said, if you hear me scream, run out the door into my truck and call the cops. Don't try to save me, because we're both going to be in a bad situation. Call the cops. So I'm creeping down the steps, waiting for somebody to grab my leg, because you know how basements are.
Oh my gosh.
Everything was fine and perfect. They did not buy that house.
It was haunted anyways. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that terrifies me sometimes. Sometimes you get that feeling, you just get
Yeah,
that
I should
weird
have left with
feeling.
the person. I should have stayed. Hey, we're not buying this house either way. Let's go. So.
You're like, if there's a serial killer down here, don't worry about me, just run.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I've heard so many stories about like people thinking that things are haunted in a house, and I'm like, I would never walk in there. No.
Yeah.
I would have never gone in that basement. You're definitely brave.
For sure.
Well, I really enjoyed having you today. Is there any last minute tips that you want to share with us?
No, just stay positive. Know that you're gonna, no matter what the day brings, it's gonna be a good thing. Get out of your comfort zone because it's your down payment on your future. So just stay positive, keep on going. The future is gonna tell you how great things are gonna be.
I love that. That's a great end note for our episode today. So everyone, remember our listing of the week. If anybody sells this listing of the week, you have to let us know because we definitely
I
want
don't know.
feedback. We definitely want to know. Oh, well, you'll know first.
And I'll
You'll
let
know
you
first. All right, guys. Y'all have an awesome weekend. Y'all sell, and next week we'll talk about it. Bye, guys.
Bye.